Welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Wu. Now, to the old listeners, you know exactly what's about to happen. But to newer listeners, this is something called the Slander Pod. It is the best iteration of the Raptors Reaction Podcast because we bring on special guest, a slander expert, Assad, to discuss what just happened as the Raptors defeated the Boston Celtics by a score of 115-83. That's correct. That's 32 points in the win for the Raptors. This was Boston's home opener. They were booed off the floor tonight because of what the Raptors did to them, because of what Scottie Barnes did to them, because of what Gary Trent did to them. And in these extremely euphoric moments, we have to bring in Mr. Assad Alvi. So Assad, take it away. What's going on, man? How you feeling?
I feel amazing, man. Just before we get started, I know there was some mention about, you know, snubs for that top 75 list. A lot of people talking about Dwight Howard. So, you know, just, you know, in reference to that, let me go full Stan Van Gundy. Let me crack this Diet Coke.
Oh, my God. ASMR on the podcast, okay.
And let's get some slander on, because, woo, baby.
Ah, this is amazing. No, this is so amazing. The feeling is incredible. Look, coming into this game, I'm not going to lie to you, because the Raptors have been beaten by the Celtics repeatedly since the championship. Like, literally since that double block. The only good memory of the Celtics I had, well, three, actually. The OG game winner in the bubble, Kyle over, Kemba Walker, with Mark Jackson saying, "Swim! That's a bad boy." That was a great call by Mark Jackson. And then the Pat McCaw game where he almost had a triple-double and the Raptors won. But for the most part, the Celtics have beaten the Raptors repeatedly, right? Even last season, early in the year, Raptors got beaten by the Celtics so bad that, like, the six Tampa fans that were there, those ungrateful fans, were in the building chanting, "We want Taco." That's how bad the Raptors got beat back then. So I'm not optimistic generally when we play the Celtics. But tonight, the way the Raptors came out, the intensity, I mean, I know the first quarter was a bit of a struggle fest, because the Raptors kept getting these offensive rebounds and they just kept missing putbacks. And it was frustrating from that sense. And people were, you know, I guess still had some baggage from the Wizards game, which was the entire game was the first quarter of this game. But then the Raptors just kept up that intensity. The Celtics completely wilted. The Raptors started finally hitting some shots. They didn't even shoot well today. 42% from the field, 28%. And yet the Raptors beat them by 32 points. Assad, man, let me just ask you about a couple of things. One, Jaylen Brown, I mean, what do you have, 40, 46?
Listen, man. I just got to give a quick shout out. This past summer, we've been hearing from a lot of Raptor fans who've been saying the Raptors don't have half-court offense. We don't have players like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Well, OG Anunoby has been putting up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum numbers the first two games of this season. All right.
Oh, come on, man. OG had to catch a stray, but I get it.
Had to catch a stray. The last shot OG hit against the Celtics was game three, apparently. Like, good God.
That's fine with me.
But hey, yo, Jaylen Brown, you got to love it. You know, you got to give him some credit. He had, 46 points the other night? So, you know, of course, got to follow it up. Had himself a great, what is that, nine?
Turn the 46 upside down. It's a nine now, man. That's Jaylen Brown right now.
Oh my God.
Five turnovers?
But this was like proof of the hypothesis, right? It was like, yo, you get all these big 6'9 guards. Like, there was a play where Jason Tatum gets a kick out. He has an open three. OG Anunoby goes and closes out on him. Jason Tatum sidesteps, goes for another three. Scottie Barnes closing out on him. Just like so much length.
The length.
So much strength. And the Raptors completely just, like, suffocated and swallowed the Celtics whole. Their best player on the night was Al Horford. Like, Jason Tatum might have gotten a couple of those midi fades off, but let's be honest. Their best player was Al Horford, and he's, like, 49 years old. So,
yep.
What a night. Also, just want to shout out the Raptors. They got a lot of young guys on the team. They're all, like, 20. But they know their classics, giving, you know, a great homage to Nelly with the tip drill in the first half, where they just kept missing every single bucket. Look at our young top 75 player, Precious Achiuwa, playing like Moses Malone out there, just padding those stats. I don't think, like, yo, shooting 39% isn't a problem when you get every offensive rebound. These other teams are too small. It doesn't matter. We in Wilt Chamberlain times now. Masai thinking ahead. We got Magic Johnson on the roster with Scottie Barnes. Just running these Celtics. They look so tiny. They look so tiny.
They're small. Yeah.
Romeo Langford going for an open layup and running into the firm of Birch, Boucher, and Barnes, just devouring him at the rim.
Triple B's, baby.
Triple B's.
Yeah. Well, listen, the start of the game was so strange because I was sure the Raptors should have been up by like 10 points after the first quarter, because at one point the Raptors had 13 offensive rebounds and had taken 16 more shots than the Celtics in the first 13 minutes of the game, and they were down by two. So 13 offensive rebounds and 16 more shot attempts in just 13 minutes. And it kind of continued that way because the Raptors finished the game 21 offensive rebounds. I mean, where do you even start with this? Okay, you know what? Let's start with the rookie, because in his second ever NBA game, Scottie Barnes goes up into TD Garden, home of 14 of the, you know, 17 or 75 greatest NBA players of all time. Although, to be honest, you know, some of them, I'm not totally sure what they would do against Scottie Barnes. Probably not well. but 25 points, 13 rebounds from Scottie Barnes, 11 of 17. Yo, what do you like the most about Scottie? Because for me, it's got to be the bully ball. The amount of times he drove in and just pushed guys aside or just stretched around guys. I mean, even the rebounds at the end, the fourth quarter, there were like the Celtics were kind of making a fake comeback. You know, oh, they've been on an 8-0 run. Well, cool. And then Scottie Barnes goes up there and collects like this two rebounds where he just rips it from like two other guys down low before taking it end to end. I mean, my God, like this is incredible. Like what I'm seeing from him.
I think my favorite part about Scottie Barnes is similar to like Kawhi. Not that they move similar or anything, is that you can't move them off their spot. Like Scottie will dribble facing up and he won't even be looking at his defender. Because it doesn't matter. He's like, you're not going to take the ball from me. You're not going to push me off my spot. He's going to stand there and just deliver jumper after jumper after jumper. You're going to shush the bench. You're going to tell him, shut up. You ain't got it like that. You know, Scottie was, he's just, it's like the raw competitiveness that he has, which is just like a joy to see. Like, he just keeps coming at you over and over and over and over and over again. Like, and the thing is, it's like, yo, Birch misses a layup. Boucher misses a layup. You've got two guys crashing the glass, and then you finally think you're about to get a rebound, and buddy boy Scottie comes in, pick up, boom, no dribble, just dunk it on you two hands. Yep. Like,
No, I love it, man. This guy was like the Kool-Aid man. This guy just kept crashing. Like, the Celtics just had no answer for him. And the funny thing is, the Celtics should have, on paper at least, answers for guys like Scottie Barnes, right? Like, they actually have quite a bit of size in their starting five. Like, if you go starting five compared to starting five, the Celtics are actually bigger than the Raptors today, when you compare position by position. Like, Smart is bigger than Fred, right? Who's their two guard? Jaylen Brown, he's bigger than Gary. Tatum is, I guess, like size with OG. Horford is slightly bigger than Barnes. And then Robert Williams is definitely bigger than Precious Achiuwa. Like, they actually had more size, but the Raptors just ran them into the ground. Like, they just kept coming. And it was
awesome.
And
it's one of those things, you can be the same, like, you can be, like, matched up and be similar size. But the problem with the Raptors is they can just swap all the matchups, and now suddenly it's like,
right,
what is Marcus Smart or Jaylen Brown going to do to box out Scottie Barnes? Nothing, right? What is Al Horford going to do to stay in front of Scottie Barnes? He's got to give the shot up. And Scottie just nailing him in his eye over and over again. Like, absolutely no conscience, just so easy, never rushed. And then Scottie, the best part about Scottie's game, and this is the thing, is when he starts having fun, he starts having fun. He's like, all right, I'm going to throw a couple no-look passes. Let's see what happens.
Yep.
Full court no-look pass to Chris Boucher. Come on.
Yeah. No, incredible. There was the play that like got me out of my seat was he wins the rebound against Robert Williams. Robert Williams is very athletic. We saw him perform multiple blocks or whatever, right? Rips the rebound for Robert Williams. He's pushing up the floor. Jaylen Brown's trying to stop him and swipe inside. He gets around Jaylen Brown, just keeps his dribble alive, just dribbles around him. And then the one-handed lefty pass, full court, to OG. Although, he didn't actually get an assist for this because Kem Birch was also cutting through the lane. And so it was weird because Kem actually touched the ball first and kind of created a little bit of a crowd. Anyway, ended up with Marcus Smart trying to jump to block OG. OG waited, flipped Marcus Smart like he was Dennis Schroeder, which, by the way, this is the first game OG and Dennis Schroeder played in a while. I definitely enjoyed how that last game went. And then OG went up for the dunk. I mean, Alvin Williams said it on the broadcast tonight. That is special. Like, when you see your 6'9 forward do that. And honestly, when you look at Scottie Barnes and you line up all the Raptors, just like from, you know, tallest to shortest or whatever, from Fred to whoever, like, Scottie might be the biggest guy on this team, period. Like, he's as big as Cam Burge, who plays center for this team. And Cam had a great game, but I just love the way Scottie played today. The first basket of the game for Scottie, a pull-up three against Jason Tatum. Now, again, Tatum wasn't like super pressed up on him because, you know, that's not his the Barnes' skill set right now. But Barnes hits him with the three. Then he cuts him with a put-back dunk. Then he cut inside, gets a layup off of Fred, who was driving. Fred had a great game, too. Then a pull-up two, then another pull-up two, then another cut for a dunk, then a curl to the elbow, a jumper over Jason Tatum. Like, the interesting thing about all this is he ends the game with 25 points. He's plus 29. He has the biggest impact on the game out of anybody on the game. And I don't, how many plays do you think the Raptors ran for him?
I don't think any. He didn't run, he didn't get a run play.
He's just playing within the flow. This is just on instinct. You know, like, this isn't even like we're going to, you know, ISO OG and over again. Poor OG, man. Listen, OG, 3 of 17, 4 of 18. We're just going to pretend we didn't see it, okay? Today, only good vibes, only, okay? Only Scottie Barnes level vibes.
But we don't need to talk about shooting percentages with the Raptors, okay? It doesn't matter because half of these are offensive rebounds. They're all Kobe assists, all right? We need to start tracking Kobe assists.
No, this is game 7, 2010 against the Celtics, man. Everybody's 6 of 24, but we're winning.
But hey, yo, I just want to just quick shout out to all those draft experts that were calling Scottie Barnes a zero level scorer, you know? Oh. Zero levels to his, you know, ceiling because he's got none. 25-13-2. That's insane.
Second game in the NBA. Second game.
And I know we're going to get to this, but I just want to, like, this is, again, like, I'm just astounded because this was basically what we should have seen in the Wizards game, but The Raptors just wasted so many of those turnovers that they forced and wasted so many of those offensive rebounds that never came to fruition. But again, they held the Wizards to 98 points. They held the Celtics to 83 points. Mm. And, like, this is what I want to show everybody, just, like, how astounding the Raptors' length is. These are the guards for the Boston Celtics. Jaylen Brown, 9 points on 3 of 13 shooting, 0 of 7 from three. Marcus Smart, 0 points.
Zero.
Points.
This guy was Kyle Lowry game one, damn.
On 6 shots, didn't make a single one. 0 of 4 from three. Josh Richardson, 12 points, 4 of 7 from the field, all threes. Nothing inside the arc. Romeo Langford, 6 points, 2 of 5 shooting, nothing inside the arc. Both of them were threes. Dennis Schroeder, 1 of 4 for 4 points. Then you have Peyton Pritchard, 1 of 4 for 3 points. Like, these are all the small guards on the other team, all the guys under 6'9 on the other team, and they can't score because they're not going to score inside the arc.
You can't drive on these guys.
Because there's like 3 to 4 6'9 guys constantly in the game.
Yep.
And it's just like it got to a point. I think there was a lineup where they were playing Schroeder and Pritchard together with like Langford. And I was like, the Celtics look microscopic right now.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Raptors have Birch, Boucher, and Barnes out there. It's like, how are they ever going to get a rebound? They don't have a chance. And what's scary about this is there are a lot of teams in the NBA that are relying on players under 6'6". And we're going to see a lot of games like this where people are going to be so astounded with what to do with the Raptors' size on defense that you're just going to have high turnover, push it and go games. And I hope that the efficiency increases on the fast break because
they're still leaving points on the table, even though they're like right there. There was a 4-on-1 fast break at the start of this game where the Raptors didn't get the basket. And that has to stop first off. Okay. For my health, that has to stop. Cause I got to cover this team all season. But those are going to become baskets as well. And so, I mean, the point about the defense, it's literally scary. Like when you watch back the highlights of this game, the amount of times the Celtics would drive into the paint and then there were like 3 guys, 6'9", with their arms wide open, just preventing everything at the rim. It was truly scary. The Raptors actually protected the paint really well for a team that has no true center. And this is the vision for what Nick is building. This is the vision for what the front office is building. Look at what the Celtics did in the paint tonight. They had 14. They shot 14 of 35. From the paint tonight. And at one point, I was looking at it almost before halftime, like 3 minutes before halftime, the broadcast brought up the graphic. The Celtics had 6 points in the paint 3 minutes before halftime.
And that's Horford and Robert Williams. And like Robert Williams, who is like the type of big that's going to give the Raptors problems, is like these really, really big bigs that are lob threats. Look at how the Raptors held them. Just like, first of all, Boucher and Birch.
Oh, great combo.
Chris Boucher For all the negatives that he showed last game and the unawareness and the misses, he played
great game defensively.
Such an amazing game defensively tonight. Yeah. Him and Birch were communicating so well, switching off so well, tagging the roller constantly.
They were speaking French to each other, man. The Celtics couldn't, they did not come from pot.
I actually asked Boucher on one of his Twitch streams, Warzone Gang, where... Wow. Birch does not speak French, unfortunately. I think
he does not speak French, actually. No, he doesn't speak French at all.
But Boucher, incredible job defensively. We've got to give him props because he gets hammered on that end all the time. Robert Williams tonight, 4 of 7 from the field. Great. 9.6 rebounds. Only 6 rebounds for a guy who should be out rebounding the entire team.
Right.
These same type of bigs last year. It was like Moses Brown giving us like 15, 16 rebound games, right?
Yep.
This is where having all that extra length on the wing just like annihilates all of it, because you can have your two bigs take out the big guy, right? You can have Birch and Boucher box out Robert Williams, and then you still have Barnes swooping in for the layup, for the rebound, or OG swooping in for the rebound. It was so magical to see it all come into place. I've not been this excited in so long. This is amazing.
No, this is why you watch Raptors games, to see this game. Like, and to be honest, this is the one thing that's going to give them so much confidence, because obviously the home opener was a disappointment. They should have played better. And you were in the building. I was in the building. You know, the crowd was great. There's a lot of energy, but the Raptors just weren't. And today,
we did a Raptor slander pod at halftime of that game.
Yeah, I know. I love, because I came to see you at halftime. You know, I only got like 5 minutes at halftime. So I came to see you and Mo at halftime. And the first thing, you were like, yo, Lupe is like one of my favorite artists of all time, but I'm too mad. I can't even watch his concert right now. I'm too mad because the Raptors held 20 to the Wizards. So this is like the inverse. This is why the Celtics fans were leaving early. I thought absolutely the combo of Kem and Boucher, it's really interesting because you are guaranteed to have rim protection there when you have those two guys. Because if Birch is caught on an assignment where he's on the perimeter, then Boucher is at the basket and he can contain and help at the rim. And it likewise, if Boucher is on the perimeter, which is usually the case, then you still have Birch. I just thought the two of them, absolutely, like you said, I mean, it doesn't look that amazing when you look at the box score, like Boucher, 11 points, you know, 20 minutes, Kem Birch, 2 points, 21 minutes. The two of them played so well. The Raptors, I just think they overwhelmed the Celtics bench. Like, nobody on that bench played well, period. I mean, Richardson hit some open threes. That's fine. You live with that because you are taking away the paint like that. And I think one of the effects of the Raptors playing the way they have is that they wear on you. Like, are you really going to be able to contend with the amount of athletes the Raptors have, the amount of size they're going to throw at you, you know, wave after wave? And keep in mind, this is without Pascal, one of their most athletic and most energetic players. And obviously, you know, probably their most talented player, period. And then also Yuta, who is very athletic in his own right, but also just like a complete energizer bunny, right? So are you going to be able to handle that sort of intensity coming at you? And of course, the Raptors have to play with this intensity all the time. Realistically, you're not going to play like this 82 games. They didn't even play like that in the first game. But the Celtics just had nothing for them, especially when they went to the bench. I mean, look at the bigs they were bringing off the bench. Like, Grant Williams was their backup center for like most of the game. Who else? Enes Kanter, who he came in for the last 5 minutes, was basically garbage time. He got lit up like he always does. Just wide open threes whenever you run a screen at him. It's so funny. Svee got all his points just running screens off at Enes Kanter. But they don't have any size at all. Like, the Raptors were bringing like 4 or 5 guys off the bench that were bigger than the Celtics. And whatever, the Celtics bench is pretty bad. But still, the style of play, this is such a great testament to sort of what they can do. And Was there anybody else?
The Celtics are a potential contender in the East, right? Like, hey, they're a top six team for sure. 100%. That's what everyone's been telling me, right?
I'm not going to lie. I was even telling people this, but I don't know, man. I don't know.
It was probably the most upsetting thing to me. And this is what, like, people are going to slowly realize this, is that almost every single team in the East does not have any depth. Like, they have, like, these star names up top. And it's like, how star are those names? Like, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, yeah, they're ballers. They can hit really tough shots. Do either of them get to the rim efficiently? They really do not get downhill and get to the rim. They don't really playmate for anybody. So their team is going to struggle. Like, outside of their scoring, who are they going to go to? And going back to the point on the Raptors, every single team is going to have this issue with their guards, is that playing the Raptors is going to be like a leg day. because every single one of your guards is going to have to box out on the defensive end every single possession, because you have your shooting guard and your small forward always guarding a 6'9 guy crashing the glass. So you're going to be in constant squats the entire game. You think those guys are going to be able to shoot threes in the third and fourth quarter when their legs are shot?
Yeah.
It is. The Raptors are not only, first of all, the fact that they can get back on defense with all that length and they can switch and they don't have to really worry about the assignments is incredible, but also the amount of pressure they're putting on the offensive glass, that's just going to wear on teams. And you're going to see more and more teams just struggle to score in the fourth quarter against the Raptors, third and fourth quarter, because you're just going to get tired. We saw Washington tire out the day before, and we saw Boston tire out. Like, Boston scored 23, 24, 17, and 19. Like, what type of early 2000s, like, score is this by quarter?
Yeah. No, I mean, I just thought the Celtics were out of, like, answers. Like, at first, they were like, okay, if Gary Trent is guarding Al Horford. And we'll talk about the starting lineup changes, I think, in the second half, because we got to go to break eventually. But, okay, so you have Horford. He has a size advantage on Gary Trent. Let's post him a few times. Yeah, you could post Al Horford. Yeah, Al Horford can get in there and throw up a hook shot. Yeah, he can make a couple. But, like, that's not going to – you're not going to win games with Al Horford posting up. You know, even against Gary Trent, yeah, Horford's bigger. But, like, the Raptors are fine with that. They'll send help. They'll get a couple of stops. So they couldn't really do that. Then for a while, it was like, okay, you know, you'll have Schroeder running pick and rolls with Robert Williams. You got those – Schroeder's really quick. He's going to get around the pick. He's going to go downhill. Then Williams is sort of a lob catcher, right? So they got back-to-back dunks that way. You know, great timeout by Nick, by the way, to counteract that. They didn't see a single other Robert Williams dunk after that. That's great coaching right there. So that was there for a while. And then in the first half, the only reason the Celtics weren't down double digits in the first half, well, two reasons. One, the Raptors couldn't make layups, right? But I guess the Celtics did do a good job of protecting the basket, at least in the first half. But it was because Tatum just kept making superstar shots. And he was making a pull-up, going to his left, going to his right shoulder. I don't want to sound like that guy. You know that meme? But, like, you know, your left dribble pull-up.
It comes
right
real easy. It comes real easy to a real hooper like this, let me tell you.
The Celtics are full of real hoopers like this. That's what I'm telling you right
now.
Here's the thing.
You can have these real hoopers, but here's the biggest stat, right? Jason Tatum shot 57% from the floor. Great.
Uh-huh.
He only got 14 shots up.
Yeah.
For the entire night, Jason Tatum only got 14 shots up. He had 5 turnovers, and he had 4 assists.
Yeah.
So you're telling me Jason Tatum basically took 18 offensive possessions between the 14 shots and 4 assists, and the rest were turnovers?
Yeah.
And then everything else had to go through someone else? That's amazing. Jaylen Brown, only 13 shot attempts. Yeah. Those are the top two guys on the team, and they didn't even combine for 30 shot attempts.
And Tatum was picked.
That's how your defense suffocates teams. And that's how the Raptors are going to be able to make up the gap, where it's like, yeah, your top end talent might be great, but we're just not going to let them engage in the offense enough.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's really interesting is in years past, the Raptors played a style of defense where they artificially limited the amount of shot attempts from their main opposing players because they were sending hard, aggressive double teams. Especially at Tatum, especially at Brown. But what that did was that it allowed Marcus Smart to get wide open shots. It allowed, I mean, Peyton Pritchard, my goodness, the things he did to the Raptors last season was unsightly, but because the Raptors were leaving him wide open to double, and even Semi Ojeleye, he's no longer on the team, but he would burn the Raptors. The Raptors changed it up this year. They have different personnel. Yeah. If you notice this game, Tatum played one-on-one. Jaylen Brown played one-on-one. Yeah, if they got to the rim, there was help. Of course, everyone's going to help in that situation. But none of these aggressive, all-out, you know, hard doubles. None of that.
Tatum, they don't need to because they're long-armed guys. Don't have to fly by. They can just contest. They take two steps or contesting.
Well, this is the exact point of you drafting a guy like Scottie Barnes, because now Tatum's going one-on-one against Scottie Barnes. That's not easy to do. Even if you give him tough baskets, and Tatum's capable of a tough basket, you're not going to get enough tough baskets over the course of a game to be efficient. And then Jaylen Brown, you know why he's 3 of 13? He's getting guarded by OG Anunoby. Yep. So, you know,
0-7 from three because he's getting hit with closeouts. I know we got to go to break, but just to further the point, 14 shots for Tatum, 13 shots for Brown. They each took 30 shots the other night against the Knicks.
Okay, all right. The Celtics might need a point guard because that's not how... That's not how the game is played. But that gives us a good opportunity here to take a quick break. You've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wim Liu, joined by slander expert Saad Alvi, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Lou. Still with Assad to continue slandering the Celtics. But I don't think we talked enough about this, but the Celtics, after seeing them up close, I don't know. I don't see the spirit in this team. Don't see the way Marcus Smart usually galvanizes them. Their version of Kyle Lowry, supposedly, didn't see a lot of Kyle Lowry behavior from Marcus Smart at all.
Well, he had 0 points.
Ooh, come on. Come on. Oh, I guess we can slander Kyle now because he's gone, right? By the way, I was watching the Heat debut, but the Heat looked amazing. They played kind of like this game, to be honest.
Yeah, Kyle makes them so good. It's so stupid. He does. But hey, Kyle had only 5 points in that game, 1 of 8 shooting or whatever, but at least he was like a plus 20 something. Marcus Smart, no points, negative 12. Fantastic.
No, this is really what happens when you pick Bulbasaur as your starter. Anyway, I just look at this bench. Grant Williams, Juancho Hernan Gomez, Aaron Nesmith, Enes Kanter, Dennis Schroeder, Peyton Pritchard, Josh Richardson, Romeo Langford. I don't really know if you should make a coach your GM, like, immediately. Like, I'm sorry, but like, what qualifications did Brad Stevens have to run a team?
Well, like, this is what happens when you have like dudes who are like named after like relievers.
You're right. No, Peyton Pritchard is a lefty out of the bullpen, man, for the
like,
Red Sox.
You're telling me Romeo Langford isn't like a 5-star shortstop in AAA right now? Come on.
Yeah, no, for real though. This is a bad roster.
Yeah, Grant Williams, the henchman from the Spy Kids 1 movie.
Yep.
Like, you've got Enes Kanter, who is, you know, more interested in shilling for whoever's willing to. I can't say that. Never mind.
Oh wow! Come on, man. with me on the show, I'm gonna have to say no comment. But I just think that the talent here is kind of really underwhelming, seeing it up close. And then I think you can make this work if you have a really good coach and a good system to make it happen. And I actually think Stevens is a really, really good coach, which is why I don't know why he left that position to take another position he's less qualified for, and then bring in a new coach. Which I, you know, 2 games into Ime Udoka's coaching career. Not going to judge the guy, not going to rule anything out. But from what I saw, there was not a lot of big adjustments here. They didn't really counter what the Raptors did. Like, the Raptors just, like, they just threw their fastball, like, for the whole game. And the Celtics just couldn't do anything. Like, they didn't change up their strategy, didn't really play any differently. Part of it is the way the Raptors were guarding them just left them with so few options. But I thought the Celtics could at least guard the Raptors a little bit better. And even that didn't happen. Like, first off, you know, we've covered Scotty Barnes. He was sensational in the first half. But can we give some love to the way Nick Nurse coached this team? Because it is a complete contrast to what the Celtics did. The Celtics had no counters for anything the Raptors did. Two things that Nick did really well. First off, how else do I say this? In a very nice way, lying. Nick loves to lie. And not in like a... in a nefarious way, just in a competitive way. Because if you say you're going to start one group and then you don't...
You're calling him Rihanna featuring Eminem right now? Just loves the way you lie?
Okay, what's wrong with you, man? Come on, that's not what I brought you on for. But I just, you know, he said that it's going to be the same starters. I even made sure to come home from work, because after the 2-3 show, I was talking, oh my God, you know, bench Goran, start Gary. You know, I said it like a million times. And then
I downed 2 Diet Pepsis just like in anger because I was so frustrated.
Yeah. And then I went pregame. My first time I've gone pregame this season. I guess it's only been 2 games, but still, first time. Made sure I put my hand up in the Zoom. Okay. I looked really blotchy and red in my laptop camera. Whatever. It's fine. Blake, me. It's all good. And I made sure to ask Nick, hey, what are you seeing from Goran as a starter? And what would you see from Gary as a starter? And he was like, well, you know, Goran gives you a lot of point guard. In fact, I actually want to give Goran more of the ball so that, you know, Freddie can do all this. I'm like, oh, he gave you this whole long answer, very well illustrated. And then I even followed up with, okay, well, do you see a way to get Gary more efficient shots? Because it seems like when he comes off the bench, he creates for himself. And he's like, well, you know, that's Gary. He's a shooter. We're happy with those. You know, like, we love when he just like dribbles 6 times and then pulls up for 2. He's a tough shot maker. We've seen him make those maybe. Right. And he gave me another illustrious answer. And then like 5 minutes before tip off, I turn on Sportsnet. I turn on my laptop. I'm sitting in for this game and I see Gary Trent Jr.'s name in the starting lineup. And I'm like, Nick, you got me again. And it worked great because Gary looked amazing in the starting five. Like, I didn't think he'd be this good. But first off, even without the offense, have you seen Gary guard like this before? Because this is what people were hyping up about Bubble Gary right before the Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, yeah.
This is that level of intensity, four steals, and probably like 10 deflections. It was amazing.
Just before I get to Gary, I just want to say Nick Nurse's origin story. Like, we'll probably have to read one of his books to find out. But I am like 90% convinced he's like the Pinocchio puppet that got turned into the little boy. Because he's just lying to get over with. He's like, my nose ain't growing anymore. I can lie as much as I want. Because he just loves it. He keeps doing it. I'm telling you, he is the little boy Pinocchio got turned into. And I'll leave that to you as a professional reporter to ask him that in your next Zoom. But
Going to Gary Trent.
Like, I think what, like, in Portland, he was asked to do this, be like super pesky at the top of the key, pressure up the court, and be like a really, really aggressive point of attack defender. And it would look bad at times because when he'd get blowed by, when he'd gamble and miss it, behind him was Portland's defense, which it's not really a thing. So, you know, when you have Enes Kanter and when you have Yusuf Nurkic and Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum as the other guys on the floor trying to make up to, you know, 4-on-5 situation, doesn't look that good. Looks completely different when that same guy's pressuring, getting hands on the ball. And in the off chance he misses, guess what? OG and Scotty step in and like zone an entire part of the court, like just zone it off. Fred comes in and like saves the rotation on the back end by just stripping the big man underneath the rim for no good reason. Fred blocking Jaylen Brown was like just like the epic 2-on-1 stopper. Like, you've got this 5'11" rim protector. That's Fred's only official block. Like, that one, not a steal. That's legitimately a block.
That's a block. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Gary looks amazing with all that defense behind him. And this is why, like, it just makes more sense for him to be with the starters. Because you can do all that gambling when you have, like, you know, support behind you that's more, you know, to scheme. And Gary looked great. He got his hand, like, I think he created, like, 2 or 3 turnovers to start the game.
Oh, yeah. And the Raptors stripped Jaylen Brown right away.
Yeah. The Raptors, and I think Precious couldn't create anything out of it. Like, it took, like, 4 tries for Precious to actually get a bucket out of those steals. But, hey. You live and you learn, so it is what it is.
Yep. No, Precious has started both these two games with like 6 combined block dunks. I don't understand it, to be honest. But yeah, no, it's a tough one. It's a tough one to watch when you're the Celtics, and you're just seeing your star players shut down by Gary Trent like that. It has to be a little bit demoralizing, I have to say. And honestly, like, I want to see this intensity more from Gary. Is it? I don't know if it's like, okay, It's a fit, as you mentioned, right? Because if he makes more aggressive gambles in the starting five, there's more guys to cover for him. Or if it's just because he's more motivated, right? Like, he didn't belong with the bench. He didn't get signed to this big contract to come off the bench. He's 22 years old. He is the future shooting guard of this team, at least for now. He signed a 3-year deal. He should start. And I thought he played really well defensively, completely set the tone for the Raptors. Well, actually, I'd say Fred set the tone. But honestly, Gary was right up there with him. Like, I don't know many games where I've watched where the other guard next to Fred has as many deflections as Fred. But it has to be close. So two of them probably collected 6 or 7 each. And that's just from your backcourt. Like, those are your small guys.
And it's really exciting to see just how good he is at getting these deflections. And, like, we've been hearing this going back to training camp and going back to preseason practices, where Nick was saying like Gary's getting the most deflections in practice, like, right, it's amazing, right? And it's just really nice to see, like, he's only 22, still a young player, still growing, still like learning how to be, you know, a more sound defender. But already, if that's his upside as a point of attack defender, like that knack for getting on the ball, that's like, and you don't want to compare them because Norm was great for the city, he was amazing, he was incredible in his role. But the one thing Norm wasn't as good at was as a defender. Like, he would get super low in his squat and it would look like he was a good defender, then he'd get blown by and be in recovery, right? And he would use his athleticism to kind of make up. Norm could never press up like Gary has, like, shown in the first couple few games that we've seen him, where he's just been pressuring these wings like 35 feet up the floor. And it's pretty incredible, and I think that's really exciting moving forward, right? Like, you have this young guard who's already doing this, and you pair him with Fred moving forward.
Yeah. That's the thing that I still think Norm is a better player than Gary at this current moment. If you're just comparing one to one, Norm is better. But at the same time, this is why you go get Gary, because there's more defensive upside here. There just is. Like, when you watch the kind of performance tonight, and honestly, the performance in the Wizards game too, I think he had 3 steals in that one. Like, nobody really played that great in the Wizards game, so I'm not going to hype that game. But, like, that's what you see. And I thought, offensively, now that he's in the starting group, a more modest, reasonable approach to offense. I saw Gary turn down 3 or 4 shots, at least, that he would have taken with the bench. You know, now that he's with the starters, he's taking open threes. He had 2 of 6. That's good. But the better part is him leaking out in transition, finishing, right? That's something Norm used to give the Raptors all the time. He did a lot of that today. But in addition to that, there were a couple of drives in the third quarter where the Raptors were really starting to separate it from the Boston Celtics. Gary Trent driving into the paint and finishing a floater over Robert Williams, who's an elite shot blocker. And then on the ensuing possession, he gets a deflection on Jaylen Brown, stops his dribble first off. Then Brown's kind of trying to pivot, trying to escape, and then boom, swiped against the ball. Precious collects a loose ball, goes the other way for a dunk. Then the next possession down, he drives inside again, and this time finishes over the other Williams, Grant Williams, at the rim. Like, you know, first off, those are the two complaints that people have against Gary Trent, is that defense needs to be better, and it clearly is right now. And then also attack the rim a couple times. And I didn't know he had some of these drives in him, because so many times he drives and he pulls up from the mid-range. Him driving to the rim and having this kind of finishing touch, of course, I need to see more of it than just 2 possessions. But that is very promising to me. Like, I really like the way Gary's playing. And it always made more sense for Gary to play with the starters. You look at all the other positions in the starting five, right? Precious, just incredibly energetic. OG, incredibly energetic. Fred, energetic. Scotty Barnes is like, if you took a child to Bulk Barn, like, you needed a fifth guy in there to also match the energy. And I think Gary has supplied that. So I love the game from Gary. That was a great coaching move by Nick Nurse.
And one of the things I love about Gary, and like, this is why, like, his finishing, like, he's so young that you can expect it to get better. And the one thing I like about Gary is, the promising thing about his finishing, at least, is that he gets the shot off.
Yeah,
he doesn't get blocked the rim. He gets it off. Whether it's going to the basket or not, whether it goes in or not, that's a different story. But he gets it off cleanly. Like, he's able to get it over the defender. He's able to get it off whichever hand it is. So the accuracy you can work on. But the fact that he can actually get it off is the first step, right? And that's kind of what you want to work with. And honestly, that was fantastic. And I know, like, you know, friends of the show, Kate, Emma, they might hate me for this next comment. But my favorite tweet of tonight was like, see how great this Raptor team was now. And this is by Iman, shout out Dish and Dimes. She tweeted out, this Raptor team's been so great. Now imagine when they get OG and Pascal back. They're going to be incredible.
That's a great tweet. And it's rude, but you know what? Let's go there, okay? Let's talk about... Okay, so we've said all the positive things. Raptors played well across the board. Well, to be honest, not even, because they could have shot the ball well. Like,
They could have easily had another extra 15 points here. Like,
if you're the Celtics, how are you going to get blown up by a team shooting 42% from the field and 10 of 35 from three? Okay, let's go to the OG Anunoby question, because obviously there's so much hype coming into the season. We've seen so far in the first 2 games, OG has been overwhelmed. What do you see as the issue with OG? Why is he, like, I mean, not even just inefficient. Why is he just lost?
I don't know what's going on. Maybe he's just overthinking. Like, there's some bits of it, like him and the same issue with Fred. Both of them don't have any chemistry with Precious when it comes to the pick and roll. And Precious hasn't been the best helper there. He hasn't really filled the dunker spot or made himself available in the dunker spot on their drives to be able to get that dump off pass. So that's one of it. I think OG had 2 drives today where Precious didn't make himself available. So his basically OG was driving in. Getting defended by 2 defenders, but then having no one to dump off the pass to, which is just like, that has to be ironed out. But just generally with OG's game, first of all, his shot is just not there. I don't know what's wrong with his shot from preseason. Like, he can't even make his open ones, like set feet. For whatever reason, it seems like he's rushing through them.
Yeah.
It's just off. And then when he does make his moves, it's like,
they're telegraphed.
they're so telegraphed. He's overthinking it. He's like making the wrong decision where he's shooting over the bigs instead of attacking them. And he's like driving on the smalls and like just getting like wrapped up. And it's just, I don't totally understand what the decisions he's making is. And it just seems like he's overthinking. Like this is the first time in his career I've seen OG Anunoby be a ball stopper. Where like, when has OG ever been a ball stopper on offense? Never. He's always been catch. It's easy. It's a shoot decision, a drive decision, or a pass decision. And he was late making passes. He's not getting to the spots he wants to get to or driving to the spots. And like, sure, he's getting maybe game planned for differently, defended differently. But it's not even so much so, like, he's not really getting doubled like that. Like, there are one-on-one opportunities. He has a step on the person, and he just is bobbling the ball, getting his steps right. He keeps, like, crumbling under his own legs on these random drives at the top of the key, which I'm like, I don't understand why his balance is so off. It's just been very strange from OG these first two games, and you're hoping he kind of just settles in. Maybe he's still finding his legs, but it's been really strange to watch. I don't really have an answer, but he has looked completely lost out there, and it's a little disconcerting, but you know, you can only hope for the best. Luckily, you got Scotty Barnes here, just, you know, hey, fixing everything on the way.
Yeah. Well, Scotty's going to do what Scotty's going to do, right? He's going to fill in, and he's going to be instinctive. I'm not going to see a lot of games where Scotty's going to have 25. Although, to be honest, I don't even know, to be honest, right? Anything could be the case for this kid, so I'm not even going to go there and say that. I'm going to take that back, actually. But with OG, like, one thing is, it seems like he practiced so many moves one-on-one in the gym over the summer that he's got it down and he's thinking like, okay, I got to do this. I got to do A, then I got to do B, then I do C, and then I shoot and I'm open. But like, especially if you're the go-to guy or if you're going to isolate, that's not how the game is played. The teams are going to surprise you at certain points. They're going to play you differently. You're going to have different defenders on you. You have different matchups, whether it's a big, a small. You're going to need to be flexible. So you can't really go sequentially A, B, and C because it's not going to happen like that. You might get C at first, and then what do you do, right? That problem solving has to happen at each step. You got to each like think through all the possessions there. But even putting that aside, like just he's got to slow down and take his time. Like if you're going to clear out and want to play ISO, clear out and play ISO. Hold the ball. Tell your teammates, yo, get out the way. Clear out this half of the floor for me. I'm going to try to get to my move. And you can make the shot, you don't make the shot, whatever, right? But that's what your move is. If you want to get to the rim, and it seemed like the big emphasis for him in this game was to get to the rim, you have to pick your spots. Okay, so if you're driving downhill and you see a shot blocker waiting there, and the Celtics had two with Horford and Robert Williams, driving inside without even crossing up your man originally, it's not going to work. You're not that strong. You're not Giannis, right? So what you should do then is slow down even further, like get into the post. I thought he did a pretty good job of posting up. That's probably the only thing he did well offensively today was post up. And he got a couple of fouls out of that. I think there's a way for OG to limit what he does poorly, which is dribbling and decision-making, by posting him up a little bit. And then you can use his strength and leverage that a little bit. But to be honest, he's just doing a little bit too much right now. The Raptors don't actually need him to play like this. Like they don't need OG. This is not a case of OG is missing open shots and whatever. This is a case of OG is feeling and thinking like he needs to play one way, but it's the other way. I don't want to sound like Marlo Stanfield, but it's the other way, OG. Like, just play within the flow of the offense. You're going to get your open threes, you're going to knock down a couple of threes at first, and then you're going to play within the flow. And right now he's struggling, but this is the expected path for a guy when he has to get thrust into this position. He'll figure it out. He does have the skill set to be more effective than this, but right now he's clearly pressing. And so what you don't want to see, though, is when he gets pressing to the point where he's so frustrated, he's forcing his way to the basket, he gets blocked by Jason Tatum, then the Celtics go the other way for a dunk, then he pulls up for three, that doesn't go, the Celtics go the other way for a score, then OG tries to force it inside one more time, doesn't really work out, the pass out, you know, gets turned over, then the Celtics get another dunk. Like, you have to at least be measured. Like, you have to keep your head, and these are learning experiences for OG. And thankfully, the Raptors were still able to beat the Celtics by 32 with OG playing like that.
Hey, listen. Fred shot 3-for-10. OG shot 4-for-18.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Raptors beat the Celtics by like 30 points. That's incredible. And again, it's just another one of these things where it's like, this team has so much depth now that when the depth hits, like, it's an onslaught. And when you look at these guys like OG being thrust in the spotlight, And I honestly, I'm a big OG Anunoby believer. You can look at my Top Shot portfolio. It's just all OG Anunoby moments. Like, I'm not even joking. I'm a big OG believer. And I know he's going to get it. But seeing him struggle right now, this is where, like, you know, you gotta be grateful for what Pascal Siakam did. Like, his rise was truly unreal.
Yeah.
How quickly he rose to it. Because he came off that championship season and he was a star. He was, like, in the MVP conversation as, like, a fourth or fifth in MVP voting for that first half of that 2020 season in the running back season. That's how good he was as the number one guy when he stepped in. And I just want people to remember, like, sure, Pascal might not look the most graceful doing things sometimes because he's kind of lanky. And I think people discredit him or slander him because he makes things look so easy. Like, the amount of times Pascal just gets, like, to the, like, the backboard for a layup, he makes it look so easy. Look at our team now. Like, it's the only way we get to the backboard on a layup is off of missed shots where we get four or five attempts. I'll be honest, the first half of this game was really testing me because every single possession looked like game one versus the Cavs.
Yeah.
We're just like, man, how is every possession four offensive rebounds?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's fine. It's fine. It all worked out in the end. I love this quote from Nick Nurse after the game. Someone asked him, hey, what's the secret to this great offensive rebound we're seeing? And he said, to miss a lot of shots. Nick, there's giving a slander pot on this show. Listen, Nick will tell you the truth post-game. Pre-game, though, this guy will play games with you. Last thing I wanted to get to before we get to three stars and everything like that, real quickly, is just I love the way the Raptors played defensively today. And I think that point about you can play Tatum ISO, you can play Jaylen Brown ISO, you don't have to send as much help, that's going to change so much. Because one, it's going to help your defensive rebounding when you're not always doubling and then rotating and scrambling. And then B, these guys are actually going to have to beat the Raptors defenders. And the Raptors always had really good on-ball defenders. Let them guard one-on-one. Send them help when they need it. But don't just preemptively send help. And I think this team should be able to do that more and more. Honestly, the Celtics have been burning the Raptors so much because they've been doing such a good job of drawing a double from the Raptors' aggressive defense, then rotating the ball. And then Peyton Pritchard hits like 15 threes, and it's the worst loss you've ever seen. But the Raptors completely flipped the script today and took down the Celtics. So, in terms of your three stars, I don't even know. Asad, I'm going to give you the first star because this is tough for me. I'm really struggling to pick between Scotty and Gary and even Fred, to be honest.
Oh, who the first stars or the third star?
The first star.
The first star? Yeah, Scotty.
Scotty? Okay, let's give Scotty. Yeah, 25 like, points.
He's the star of the show, plus 29.
All right, you're right.
All those no-look passes? Come on. We know who... Second game in the league, and he's looking like prime Magic Johnson. Hey, I'm all in on Scotty. Hit a three, 11 of 17 from the floor. First of all, the rookie took 17 shots, and he took 17 shots because he got on the boards and he got those offensive rebounds. Six offensive rebounds, Scotty.
Yeah, he's a bully. That's the thing. He just bumps into guys and they bounce back off of him. The only other guy I've seen do that recently for the Raptors is Kawhi. I'm not going to say. That's the comparison. I hate that comparison so much. We just got to dead that comparison, period. But
Scotty Barnes is Skull Graymon, man. He's too big, too strong, and just terrifying everybody. Let him go.
Yo, 25 people got that reference, but they all appreciated it. So Scotty Barnes going to get the first star. Second star for me, I know Gary was amazing, but I got to give it to Fred. I know 11 points, 4 rebounds, 9 assists, 3 steals, a block. Doesn't sound that good. I'm just telling you, the way he managed the game was perfect. He was throwing such gorgeous passes. One of them wasn't even an assist because Precious got fouled. But the pass where he came off the screen, off the side of the floor, the Celtics trapped him with Robert Williams. And then Fred threw like a bowling ball pass where he kind of like put some English on it so that the ball would curve back towards Precious as he's going to the basket. And he got fouled there. Just a thing of beauty. But honestly, Fred in this game, defensively, the amount of deflections he got, the way he ran the team, and underrated, but the Celtics did make a small push in the fourth quarter, and Nick Nurse hit the panic button early and put Fred back into the game with 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter. He probably could have gotten a longer rest, but that's what you need to do. You put Fred in the game because you want to calm things down, and he did it perfectly. I thought even the stats don't look that great, but I'm telling you, Fred had such a big impact on this game. I love seeing Fred play.
Yeah, so. And just the play of Fred's game was gets blocked by Robert Williams, fights to get the ball away from Robert Williams, and then lines him up for a 30-foot bomb.
Yeah.
That's a veteran.
And even the next play down, because he nailed a 30-footer, Robert Williams is like, up above the three-point arc trying to do his thing. Fred runs around him, beats him off the dribble, and kicks it wide open to Gary Trent for three. And Gary, obviously, your third start tonight. 20 points, three rebounds, an assist. First off, he had one assist. That's pretty good for Gary. Might be a career high. And then four steals, 7 of 13, played great defense in 32 minutes. Just exactly what you want to see when you start a guy, give him that chance. So the Gerald Henderson Award winner, who you want to give it to, Horford or Richardson? Or honestly, I'm really struggling here. Nobody played good for the Celtics. I'm sorry, but it's probably Horford for the blocks, I guess.
I'll be honest, I've never seen Josh Richardson actually make an open three, so good for him.
Yeah,
I've never seen him make a three against the Raptors, so good for him.
Remember the time the Raptors fans booed him into three straight missed free throws? The game Embiid scored zero? Good times, baby. Good times. I think we did one of these after that game. I know we did. So, all right, let's give it to Josh Richardson then. 12 points on 4-4 shooting from three. Good for Josh, man. Had no impact on the game, but he had 12 shots or 12 baskets or points. Wow, what's wrong with me? Yeah, that does it for the reaction podcast. That does it for the Slander podcast, the special edition of the show. Asad, I want to appreciate show my appreciation to you for coming on the show. Where can people find you? And
you can find me on Twitter. Sometimes I'll be on Yahoo Sports Canada. Shout out to my sister. It's her birthday today. She let me do this on her birthday. Oh. So.
Happy
birthday to her. We on Sportsnet, baby.
That's correct. So that does it for the show. So thanks everyone for listening. You can find the Raptors show on wherever you listen to podcasts. And you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet by Manny the Fan.